The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick's out, Tyler's in. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show with Barry and myself as we continue to roll on, getting ready to find out who the Astros are going to play in the American League Championship Series after the Indians and Yankees duke it out tonight.
Who you got?
In Cleveland, I don't think there's any way Corey Kluber throws two duds in a row.
Okay.
His track record throughout the year has shown such. And I don't have confidence that CC Sabathia or Sonny Gray or anybody else that they might quickly change and put into the equation can come up with the kind of outing that the Yankees are looking for, as opposed to what the Indians can bring to the table.
I'm with you.
I fully expect that it'll be the two best teams all regular season in the American League duking it out for the championship.
Spot on analysis, my friend. I couldn't disagree or agree with you more. My bad.
That's what you normally say.
I know. But that was habit. I couldn't agree with you more, though. Yeah, I don't think there's anything that they're going to throw at them. This is destiny, right?
Yep.
Throughout the regular season, this is the two best teams in the AL.
And here's the thing. There's so many Astros fans out there wishing for the Yankees. I mean, the best thing you can say if you're going for a title is you don't want second guessers after the fact. The perfect example I can give you is after the Rockets won the back-to-back titles and everybody said, but if Michael Jordan played with the Bulls, they never would have won. You don't want to deal with that crap.
Yeah, but didn't he play and they got bounced in the playoffs?
He did in one of the 2 years.
Yeah, so whatever. That's
but,
kind
but
of
I'm
the
saying,
same.
You know what? You want the Indians. And here's the thing.
No, I want the easiest road. I'll be honest. I want the easiest road to the World Series.
Okay.
But I just don't know that it's – you don't get that. You
Let
know
me
what I mean?
Give you this.
I don't care if they
– I might beg to offer as an argument that the Indians are.
This I got to hear.
You lose Kluber and Encarnacion. They're wishful thinking if they think this guy's coming back anytime soon. So he could be out. Now Andrew Miller's saying he might have a knee issue. That's why he hasn't been as effective. If there was ever a time to get the Indians, especially as we talked about, you can talk all you want about injuries, but sometimes if a Game 5 situation comes up on the other side of the docket, it could be the best thing for you because they got to burn Kluber now today. So at least he's pushed back before you see him for the first time in a series, while you are going to have Verlander and Keuchel, in this case Keuchel then Verlander, lined up for the series from the get-go. So I think for a lot of reasons, it lines up very favorably for the Astros regardless. Whereas the Yankees are healthy, the Yankees do have some good bats. They have some young guys that are coming on, and they have some depth at starting pitching. But you know, overall, I think if there was a time to catch the Indians, it might be the right time with the injuries. I think losing Encarnacion has an impact throughout that lineup from what the kind of clout he brings and how you sometimes may pitch around him and how you know certain players get better pitches to hit because of him. I think that has a bigger impact than people are really factoring in.
Okay. I don't know if I'm completely buying what you're selling as far as better off with the Indians.
Okay. It might have been that might be a little bit strong way of putting it, but I think between the two teams right now, I think that there's a lot more limitations on the Indians than there are the Yankees.
Okay. I don't know. The Astros have played the Yankees well. They've done well in Yankee Stadium.
Yes.
Then they get swept by the Indians. I mean, every time they played Cleveland, it was pretty ugly.
Yeah, they lost a couple of one-run games in the first three games here, and then there they got...
Yeah. So I think I would much rather end up playing the Yankees. I think that lineup is a little more susceptible. That rotation isn't as deep. The bullpen is good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where the Yankees are better than the Indians is in the bullpen. But they both have quality bullpens. The back end of both of those bullpens are really good as well. And I think both bullpens are definitely better than the Astros bullpen. Rotation wise, though, I think the Astros can match up better with the Indians, but have a better and deeper rotation than the Yankees do. Either way, though, it's not going to be easy. I think both of these teams are good, but I think that this is winnable for the Astros. In years past, you might say, well, at least they got there. They're probably not going to win. These are very winnable. And I'll be honest with you. The more I sit here and look at this rotation, I don't know if – I mean, look at performances from the LDS. Morton was probably – I mean, he was probably your best number three, right? After Verlander and Keuchel, Morton probably pitched the best.
He didn't pitch great, but pitched
better.
He kept you in it.
He went 4 1/3 and gave up 2.
Right.
Peacock went 2 2/3 and gave up 3. If you're looking at other options, McCullers went 3 innings and gave up 2. So of the three guys that not named Colin McHugh that wasn't on the roster that could take the hill in game 3 at home, Morton has pitched the best of any of them in the playoffs so far. And then who do you want matching up against Corey Kluber? Because that's who's going to be pitching when they come back to Houston after the first two games in Cleveland. It's going to be Kluber versus, take your pick. It's going to be McCullers, Peacock, Morton, or McHugh.
Well, and like I told you, too, regardless of what McCullers is doing out of the bullpen, I hope he's still getting his sessions in, because as they go deeper into the playoffs, there's a bigger and bigger consideration for using him as a starter because he does have filthy stuff. And if he can only get you 4 or 5, then you can go to the bullpen after that, because you're expecting to get a lot of innings out of both Keuchel and Verlander.
I think I've decided that if the Astros could split in Cleveland, I would run McCullers out there for game 3 mm-hmm. with a quick hook, bringing in Peacock. So if he starts to falter and maybe gives up a run or two in the first couple, 3 innings, he's gone. Peacock comes in, gives me 4 quality innings, hopefully. If they're down 0-2, then I want Morton taking the hill.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, you know what I mean? If they can
steal
one. Yeah,
you and I talked about it yesterday. If they can get the split right away, guaranteed, especially if they win game 1, if it is in Cleveland and they are playing the Indians, then you've achieved what you wanted to achieve, and everything after that is gravy, so you can take some chances, because it still sets up well for you with who you're going to go to later in the series and who you're going to go to on regular rest. So, yeah, I can see that. I can go with that.
Somebody asked this question on the text line. Since Barry's famous, which that's ridiculous, did Harvey Weinstein grope him too? No.
He
not.
Did trace your lips with his pointer finger,
you are
did he
so
not?
Dead set on this.
Did he not?
Somebody was saying that, I'm doing a show in Beaumont, apparently, on the 27th, and they were just saying that I guess they know.
Maybe you can make one of our remotes then.
It's not my fault they told me that the week of, when I've booked these weeks out. What? Mm-hmm. And by the way, they had to move one of the remotes that was supposed to happen in September, which I would have made, but they moved it.
You better quit pointing at me. But
I'm just saying, you're the one airing dirty laundry.
No, I'm not.
That's making me feel like I got to defend myself.
People are bringing butt wipes and toilet seat covers for you, and you're not there. Then I have to transport them.
Shout out to Justin. He said, Barry, if you need contact info for the guys that run the Carbach MS-150, let me know over the air. I don't know yet. I don't know how I'm going to do that, Justin. But I'm sure it'll come up again between now and then, but I'll let you guys know for sure. I'll reach out.
If you do it, can you do it with a Pee Wee Herman bike?
The one that Jerry tweeted out?
Yes.
I really might actually do that.
Just the big white walls and the big goof, square seat.
Maybe I could get like a lowrider bike, like with the big-ass wheels and... Maybe I'll do that. I'll go cholo style in the MS-150.
Okay.
That might be kind of sweet. Thank you to everybody and all the kind words on the text lines, too. For some reason, the texters are being nice today, and I appreciate it.
I don't. All right, so we continue to roll on as we are deep into hour number 2, Little Guns N' Roses, Live and Let Die from the Bond movies, as I put on that list for Wayback Wednesday. We'll continue to roll through Wayback Wednesday tunes and also lots of things to get to in the worlds of sports and other things. We do have the... sleep app snoring deal updates for this week. So we'll have
to do that at what, 3 o'clock?
Sure.
We should be ready by 3, right, Tyler?
Yeah, apparently I got to listen to these because there's cussing.
There's a lot of cursing in them. Yeah, we got to clean it up.
I've never heard any cussing in any of these. All right, so we'll get that in the 3 o'clock hour. And until then, we have plenty more to get to, so don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Mm. is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show, Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, Taylor. Oh, my bad. Tyler.
Tay-Tay, what's up?
With you until 4 o'clock. Real quick, though, let's do a giveaway. I promised some more tickets, and we didn't do it at 2, so let's do it now. We'll do, you're going to get Tuesday. It'll be you plus one, Houston Improv, tonight, 8 o'clock, doors at 7, be there at 8, or by 8. It's in the Marquee Center next to Dave & Buster's and IKEA and all that. It's going to be good times. Just don't call if you're not going to come. That's the only thing that pisses me off is I always give away tickets and then half you guys don't show up for whatever reason. So just don't try to win. I want guys that are going to be there and have fun or gals, whatever. All right. So caller number 5, 713-780-3776. You'll win you plus one. So two tickets for my show tonight. 713-780-3776. Caller number 5. And then I'll do like caller 25 later on for y'all listening on the app.
Okay.
How about that?
That'll work.
Cool.
So there you have it.
Let's talk whores.
Yeah, let's talk about at least one in particular.
Now, what is she? Because I don't want to keep calling her a whore if she's not actually one, if she's like just a dancer.
Okay. If you want to get down to technicalities, we can let you draw your own conclusions.
Okay.
But essentially, let me give you the basics for you to draw from before you get to your Etch-A-Sketch.
Okay.
Okay. The Dolphins, as we all know, were displaced because of the hurricane down in Florida. They were forced to practice in Oxnard, California for a week in September. All right. He reached out to the young lady looking for company. She describes them as being in some degree of a dating relationship after that, but she also said she grew concerned when he threatened her if she ever exposed him. She says she is a model by the name of Kiwana.
Who it is.
Nye. And she was on the Dan Le Batard show today.
Okay.
She made references to things like, he used me as his cocaine platter a number of times. He basically sent me a message saying anything I planned to do or tried to do to harm him, she would be turned over to the Dolphins security team. Basically, she had so many ridiculous reasons for why she came forward with this video, none of which were the honest ones that she was trying to get fame and money out of the deal. We got the audio. We'll let you draw the conclusions for yourself. But without further ado, here's Kiwana.
I've gotten a lot of hate mail. I've had a lot of support, but I believe, like, I did what needed to be done. So it's okay. I take it all.
The moment that he sent it to you, did you think to yourself, this is something that I'm going to do? I'm going to release this, and this is going to create quite the storm?
To be completely honest with you guys, the thing is, me and my best friend, Ashmi, already had plans on recording him some way regardless to expose this. So even if he didn't send that video, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Even if he didn't send that video, it was going to be exposed because it needed to be exposed. How do we have someone that's getting paid millions to be a leader for a team, you know what I'm saying, doing blow when we can't even have people that's doing what they're supposed to do, nil that flag? Nil that anthem. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
All right, well, hold on a second. Kiana, what was the nature of your relationship? Like, why did he trust you with this video?
I was dating him.
And you decided as you were dating him, did something go wrong? Did anything go wrong with you two?
Many things went wrong, actually. He started out the whole situation lying to me. From the very beginning, I asked him what his status was. He told me he had 3 kids. He told me that he was married, but that he was divorced. He had asked me if I would move to Miami. He even invited my best friend. That's why I kind of keep mentioning her. He even invited not just me, but my best friend also to move with him to Miami and live in his condo. So it's just the fact that he tried to lie and sell so many dreams. Then on top of that, you're a drug addict getting paid millions. So it is many of reasons. On top of that, after he sent the video, he probably, came off of his high a little bit. after he sent the video, he low-key kind of threatened me in case I end up exposing the information.
So, yeah, that was just part of nearly 2.5-3 minutes where she just went off. She said that, you know, she had to expose him because this was more about the fact that if this was a black coach, he would have been fired. But because he was a white coach, he resigned and the organization didn't do enough. She made the reference there to the fact that you have guys that are trying to make a stance during the anthem that are being criticized, but you have coaches in the league that do this. I mean, it was all over the place.
All that's pretty weak. As far as a reason to come forward, but she's,
I don't really. Well, sorry. Going back to how, just because he's a white guy, he's allowed to resign. Even if it was a black guy, like if they're smart, they're going to resign before they get fired.
Yeah. In all these situations, the best thing you can do is put tail between legs, apologize as soon as possible, seek help, and then hope that you get a second chance somewhere down the line. But the more you fight it, the more it just is a bad look for you.
Yeah, he did it the right way. You know what I mean? Like he, if you're busted and it's obvious, the best thing you can do is just be like, all right, I'm out. I screwed up. I'm going to go get help and I'm done. My bad. I got caught, you know? I mean, what else are you going to do? Like, cause this whole Harvey Weinstein thing,
right?
He was like, he basically came out after people were accusing him and said, nope, there was never any misconduct. But he's stepping away to go get help and try to repair the relationship with his family.
He left last night supposedly to go get help.
Who, Harvey Weinstein? Yeah. So, again, just come out and own it. But, I mean, you know.
The perfect example
for me is.
There's
always these excuses.
The perfect example for me in comparison is, look at the two scenarios between Andy Pettit and Roger Clemens. Andy Pettit came out right away, admitted, yes, I did. I'm very sorry, very apologetic. And he was forgiven for the most part. Whereas Roger fought it and fought it and fought it, and now Roger's going to be labeled for life.
Yep.
And it's just two totally different situations based on how you handled it from the get-go. So in this case, though, I mean, and she went on later to say, Tyler, to your point, but she said, you know, how do you have someone who's paid millions to be a leader for a team doing blow when we can't have blacks kneeling for the anthem? After I realized his habits and who he was and everything going on with his system, he was going to get exposed. Come on, man. I mean, here's the thing. The other thing is, are you saying that it's a really bad deal because you heard the wrong information or he told you the wrong information about what his family situation was? You and your best friend get a condo in Miami paid for? It could be a lot worse. I don't think that's a problem for you.
I think where he screws up is just by saying, well, first of all, I just don't understand. You've got a multi-million-dollar contract. You're going to be wealthy for the rest of your life because of it. You're in the NFL as a coach.
You're an O-line coach making $2.5 million and three next year is what you were scheduled to make.
There's far worse jobs you could be doing. Why are you out there screwing it up by doing this is the first question. The second question is, why would you do anything and document anything that could incriminate you? Why give, look, if you turn me in or try to go public, I'm going to do whatever. Here's the thing. You make it to where there's no proof. You just make it all about her word versus yours. But to start recording videos, that's dumb. Like, that's the dumbest thing you could have done. Because if she tries to record you like she said she was going to do with her friend, now there's legalities in that. There's criminal, you know, she could possibly go to jail for illegally recording you, wiretapping or whatever it is. So, I mean, you're still running that risk, though, by associating with people like her and doing the things you're doing. But damn, dude, you busted yourself by making the video.
No doubt.
Never trust a big button to smile. Don't record a video and then send it to them and expect that nothing's going to happen, especially if you've already threatened her because you're worried she's going to turn you in. You're an idiot.
No doubt about it. And here's the other thing. Don't tell me for a second, based on what she said, that this wasn't the plan all along. Once they found out how much this guy was making and everything, and she said, hey, me and my best friend were going to do this anyway. We were going to film the video anyway, regardless.
Yep.
That tells you this was a straight cash grab.
That girl is poison.
No don't do it. Doubt about it.
Don't do it.
That situation continues to get muckier and muckier, as I very carefully say those
words. She did sound ragged, too.
Yeah, her voice and everything. And by the way, she goes, I'll take it. I take it all. I was like, oh, really? There's a shocker to no one. But anyway, we're at the halfway point of the show, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got much more on the agenda. But, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Lots of great people chiming in on Twitter, as they already do on a regular basis. But also you can get us on text and or call 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line. Back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. We are the usual suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Blinded by the light, wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, no Nick. So Tyler, again, admirably filling in, and we appreciate him, as I am hour number two of the Wayback Wednesday pre-2000 covers, Manfred Mann's Earth Band, Blinded by the Light. Still,
who did this originally?
Wrapped up like by a deuce. Sounds like a bathroom break. Who was the original? I had this all written down, but now you're going to make me Google it.
Music. I can't think.
What? Yeah,
we
can look it up.
Thinking of, but
are you on
this
crack
guy,
right now?
Yeah, I can't think of the word. But this guy says Springsteen.
Springsteen did the original?
I did not know
that. I'll be damned.
Is that right?
I hate Springsteen, so I don't care.
Okay.
I think
I'm not a huge fan.
Now, there have been two Bob Dylan songs played.
Okay.
And there have also been two Springsteen. Well, actually, there was going to be two, but I didn't play Ghost of Tom Joad.
Oh, really?
Machine. Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know who the hell that is, so it doesn't matter.
It's a song title, and Rage Against the Machine is an awesome band. Do you not know who they are?
I do.
Yeah, I know who Rage Against the Machine is, but I don't know if I would title them an awesome band. I feel like maybe you're just throwing
Rage Against
the
Machine is pretty popular.
I feel like you're just
throwing.
They're
going to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
I feel like you're just throwing the word awesome around.
Just to mess with you guys, too.
You know what? I don't think your show's going to be awesome tonight.
That's not very nice.
You know what? Guess who just got crossed off the guest list?
You know what? Guess who has $10 laying around?
And may do it just to harass
just to spite you.
Yeah, okay.
No, he would own me at heckling, though.
Yeah, I have a mic and you don't. That's what.
Exactly.
Dude, I can't tell you again how many of my friends are like, I've been talking about it on Facebook. They're like, yeah, you guys, let's go heckle Barry. I'm like, first of all, that's a terrible idea. It's rude, number one, for everyone around you. Two, that's not how comedy works. I know you guys think that that's what you're supposed to do, but it's not. Three, I have a mic and you don't. You're just going to end up looking like an a-hole on YouTube. So everyone just come and
be quiet. Could security remove somebody?
What if I
they get thrown
megaphone
out all the time. Yeah, because basically they'll come by and warn you and say, hey, stop talking. And then they come by again, and then the third time you're out. And usually if I just say, hey, could we get somebody to get this person out of here, they'll take them out first or second time. It won't matter. So, yeah, it's a bad idea all the way around just to try to talk and be part of the show at a comedy club. Don't do it.
Okay. There you have that.
All right, so there's this text that we got that I was going to get your opinion on. It said, after Jemele Hill was suspended, Michael Smith sat out.
Her co-host.
Yep, after the show they do together. Do you think Jemele's activism is putting their jobs in jeopardy? No?
I don't either.
I don't think so.
And I give Michael Smith some credit now because he did something to support his co-host and friend that could put his job in jeopardy.
Yep.
Because he could face more of a backlash from ESPN than she. She's serving her suspension. She's doing everything else that's going on. She's not behind it. It's other people taking a stance for her. But in him taking a stance, that can offend his employer to the point where there are ramifications there too.
Yeah. So, but to say that is her activism activism putting their jobs in jeopardy? No, because he didn't have to sit out.
Right.
He chose to as a sign of solidarity and support for not just, you know, for her, but for her message. And I think that's a lot that has a lot to do with it. So if they both lose their job, it's not because of her. Her job would be because of her, but his job would be because he chose to.
Correct.
So I don't think, no, she's not affecting both jobs, which was the question.
No, and you know, but I think he probably thought it out to some degree and realized that there's that, you know, the consequences could be there if he did what he did, but he did it because he believes in her and he supports his friend, and I give him credit for that. And by the way, yes, Shock was completely right that Bruce Springsteen did the original version of Blinded by the Light. So who knew?
I've never been a Springsteen guy.
I'm with you.
I know don't the
people
see
that
the
are
appeal.
Giddy, passionate, like diehard fans, and I've never been that guy.
Same thing with Bob Dylan. I know.
Agree. I'm with you.
You guys
on that
are gonna hate me on that. Just like I said, I thought the Doors were overrated, but I don't know. That's not my thing.
I'm with you on both of them.
I love like the Rolling Stones.
You must be headlining tonight or something like that. This is weird. We're agreeing on a lot of things. We have a lot of similarities today.
I don't know.
Very wild and wacky stuff.
I feel like I just need to say something mean to you now just to wash this cleanliness off of me.
That's going to happen anyway in the next 90 minutes, I'm pretty sure.
No, it's not, you idiot.
There you go.
Oh, look at that.
Okay.
Look how that happened.
Now that we've got the Ass Clowns comedic routine out of the way, let's get to Chuck, who wants to talk a little bit about the Astros. Chuck, what's up?
What's going on, fellas? Long time no talk to you.
Where have you been, my friend?
Oh, man, just being on the road traveling this great country of ours, man.
Okay.
Just haven't been able to get to y'all.
Well, we can be gotten too, so we are here for you, brother. What's going on?
Oh, man, nothing much. First of all, y'all both said the greatest thing ever, Bruce Springsteen sucked.
I don't know that we said sucked.
I didn't even want to talk about it, but that is the greatest line y'all's ever wrote out. And I just want to tell y'all, hey, need to relax on the Astros. I'm going to tell you right now I think we're the hottest team in the playoffs. And in baseball, when you're the hottest team, you're going to win it all, fellas. And it's a great time to be a sports fan in Houston. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate
good
it,
boy, Chuck. Always bringing it concise and out. Appreciate it.
I like it. We got to get more guys to be like that.
We're not panicked on the Astros at all. We're just trying to be real, you know, realistically set up the next round with matchups. But
yeah, and I don't. I just want to say I don't want to take credit where it's due or not due because I don't think either of us said Springsteen sucks.
No, I said that while he said that.
I just don't like.
It's just not my cup of tea.
Is he good? Not in my mind, but you can't deny, you know, the success he's had. I mean, like.
Dude, not everybody can swallow a pound of gravel and make the veins in their neck pop out when they sing lyrics.
Yeah, I don't know. I like to be able to understand the words that are coming out of an artist's mouth. Call me crazy. I hate mumble rock just as much as I hate mumble rap. And I feel like Springsteen and Dylan are mumble rock.
Okay.
I kind of do.
All right. Fair.
Okay. Fine.
Speaking of people you never understand what comes out of their mouth, too, I did want to throw this out.
Where's this going?
Again, one of the biggest ass clowns in broadcasting. That would be Skip Bayless. He's a diehard Cowboy fan and tweeted out, without 6'1", 205-pound veteran Nolan Carroll, the Cowboys had to put 5'10" rookie Jay Lewis on 6'2", 220-pound Devontae Adams. Easy winning throw for Aaron Rodgers, and thought no one would think anything different. Well, Jordan Lewis, who he was referring to in the tweet, decided to respond and said, height has nothing to do with it. If you really knew football, you'd know a back shoulder fade is all about technique. So I guess even players are getting to the point where they've had enough of Skip Bayless and his tweets, because you know that he trolls people. You know he puts stuff out there intentionally. You and I talked about this on Radio Row when we saw him and his frail little feminine rear end walk out of the hotel looking like he needed Secret Service when no one cared that he was there.
Yeah, and his big bright white sneakers or whatever.
And we said,
I don't know, what was he wearing? He was wearing some Concourse,
we thought he was
right?
wearing Jordans, and he wasn't.
It looked like the 11s.
But they looked like it, but they were just like thick white-soled black walking shoes.
Was he wearing
shoes.
Like the old like dad New Balances?
They were kind of walking shoes. There was no logos on them, but yeah, Skechers. He wanted to look cool with a suit.
Yeah, I don't know why that trend is such a big deal right now.
All the
TV.
ESPN guys on TV are doing it.
Like, I don't like it, but whatever.
But we said, you know, a lot of how he's gotten his popularity or gotten at least people to know who he was and his recognition was the fact that it's a common occurrence for him to just tweet out just the stupidest takes in the world just to get reaction. And most cases it works. In one case, it actually got me.
Yeah, but I don't know why people, you know, it's like Stephen A. Smith saying something or any of these first, last, take, talk, whatever the hell these shows are that are so popular.
Get the name of the show right, Skip.
All these guys, I don't know why anything would get any run because it's all, I think they were talking about it yesterday, maybe on the Blitz or John and Sean or whoever, but somebody was talking about the fact that I think it was the Blitz yesterday as I was driving around. They were talking about the fact that they're literally one person picks one side of the argument and the other picks the other, and then they just say ridiculous stuff to prove their point, whether they believe it or not. That's just stupid to me. I would much rather you and I just come on here and talk about something, even if we agree with it, as opposed to, okay, you have to take the opposite no matter what and make a bunch of ridiculous points that no one believes because it's pretty much a topic that everyone should have, you know, a similar thought on at least. It's just stupid.
It's interesting because, you know, people go back and forth with that in radio. But the thing is that
we're going to do that one day.
Honesty is the best policy. Yep. You stick to what you believe, and then you can talk from a position of strength when you're talking to anybody that wants to chime in on the topic. But when you do that and you don't have conviction in it, you're probably not going to have the most solid background or whatever you say to try and support it.
You know what we should do one day? I'm just spitballing here. We should just do that one day where we just do like the usual take. And then you take one side of every argument, and I'll take the other, and we'll predetermine it, and it'll just be the worst three hours of radio ever.
We should do it without letting the audience know and see if they can pick up on it, and just keep doing it from topic to topic.
I think smoking crack is just fine, Joel, especially with whores.
What are you talking about, Barry? It's such a dirty habit, and especially when you're dealing it with prostitutes and ladies of the evening. All right, we'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects right after this, right here on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Tyler in again for Nick as we continue to roll on way back Wednesday. Cover tunes pre-2000. Tried to share the wealth today.
Are you a soccer fan, Joel?
I'm not.
Me either.
But Tyler and I were just talking about in the break again. This story from last night is big.
It is, and I really feel like I should care more. I just don't. I get it. Like when the World Cup happens, I watch. I watch the men's and the women's and all that. On the Olympics, I like watching the women's soccer.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
But I have a feeling I'm like most average sports fans and that I don't really care about soccer. And I get there's a ton of soccer fans. I'm not saying there's not. But I feel like I'm like the, you know, Bob in accounting who's just like, you know, he'll watch football. He'll watch the Texans and he says we a lot when he talks about them. Mm-hmm. He'll watch Monday Night Football because it's on. Doesn't know anything about, you know, details. Couldn't name you 10 players on each team. And probably doesn't care about soccer one way or the other. Because I look at it and I'm like, okay, they didn't make it. I don't really care. I know I should, but I don't.
There are certain people like Taylor Twellman, if you haven't seen it, you can go find it on social media everywhere. But just went off the rails.
I've heard.
Nuts about it. But a lot of things is just at least get there. You know, you're the United States. You're a massive country in which you have athletes in all sports, in which in recent years your men's teams have gotten better and better and shown better and better. though it is tough for them to compete with some of the great soccer forces of the world, they've at least gotten to the World Cup, and in the last couple World Cups have shown to be decent, if not a little better than that. To not even qualify has a lot of people drowning in sorrow today.
I get it, okay? But the men's national team has never really been that good. They've never been a force.
Well, was it the last World Cup that they got to, like, the last eight or...
Eight?
That's a pretty good accomplishment to get down to the final eight of the final... I don't know if it was final eight or really? Final four, but yeah. Based on how many teams are in the World Cup, it's a pretty good accomplishment, especially when you're talking about a USA team.
Is it a good accomplishment if you suck most of the time, or is it a good accomplishment in the soccer world? Because there's a difference, right? Like, it's a good accomplishment if the Browns go 500. That's great. That's pretty hard in the NFL to go 500.
It's a perfect opportunity for you to catch Glenn Davis's Soccer Matters show right here on ESPN 97.5.
I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being serious.
No, I get
like,
it.
It's, look. What's the level? Like, if the women's team didn't make it, that would be completely different to me, because I get that the women's team has always been really good.
Well, but I think from a USA men's perspective, it's more like they've been the underdog. They've always been outmatched and overwhelmed by the competition when they've gotten to the World Cup. And they've closed the gap more and more over the last 20 years. In the last 10 years, they've closed it to the point where there were actually some teams with Landon Donovan, with Clint Dempsey, with guys like that you could associate names and faces with the team. You knew that the team was better than average. The team was going to at least compete. And like I said, I think it was the last World Cup where they actually got to the final eight or the final four before being bounced out. And you thought, okay, now they're on the come. They're continuing to show better and better. This is going to be a positive for the United States, as opposed to, for all intents and purposes, Trinidad and Tobago was one of the worst teams. You should at least be able to get a tie against a team like this. They get beat last night 2-1, especially because from a lot of people's perspective, there was no intensity. And when you compare, when you also add in and factor in that the under 18 and under 20 teams in the United States are some of the best teams in the world, and they're like, where's the disconnect?
But isn't that, aren't some of those teams guys from other countries, or
no, you
where
have
they
to be
qualify to play for other countries? Because somebody texted the show and said it's a disappointment because of the access we have to training, coaching, and wealth in comparison to these third world countries. I'll be honest with you. I kind of feel like a lot of those countries come here to train, and because I know personal trainers that trained, like you said, what was it? The one you just used?
Trinidad and Tobago?
Yeah. I think it was actually the women's team that he was the strength and conditioning coach for. So they were here getting that training, and then they went back and competed in the World Cup. So it's not that they're like, oh, well, you know, it's just Honduras, and they're playing on dirt, and they're kicking into a fishing net, and they're, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure some of these countries do have some deficiencies, but a lot of them are coming here to get trained, or they're going to in Europe or other places, or they're bringing in specialists and people. So,
well,
I don't know if
this,
I would
to argue that point. Think about from the standpoint of when you see guys, as it's called in European soccer, transferred to a different team instead of traded, and you talk about hundreds of millions of dollars in the transaction. The major soccer clubs of Europe have massive amounts of money, and they're paying massive amounts of money to their players to where they can build facilities, they can do whatever they want. But, yeah, some of the smaller countries probably struggle a little bit. I think for the most part, though, I mean, when you're talking about, especially from a World Cup perspective, you have to be American. So you're raised, at least born and somewhat raised in the United States.
Are you sure? You just have to be a citizen.
I think you have to be American-born. I could be wrong. Tyler, do you know?
I think there's – I want to say there's like a half-German guy. I think if your parents are whatever, you can decide. It's like the World Baseball Classic. Like
right.
Springer could
yeah,
have played
like,
for
like the
Puerto
Netherlands.
Rico.
Did you see all the Caribbean-born players that played for the Netherlands because it's a Netherlands territory?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something like that?
It's kind of like that,
okay.
Yeah. And it just goes back to, like, where your parents were born and stuff
yeah.
like that. But
yeah, yeah.
I don't know if they have, like, stricter rules in the World Cup.
So it's interesting because regardless of that, and you're right, there's a lot of resources in the United States, but at the same time, too, I mean, as people look at all these things, you know, they think that just like in all the other sports, and including the three and four major sports, the USA is not only competitive, but in most cases they're considered to be dominating in that field and in that sport. And instead of the United States making progress with this, it's like they've taken a huge step back.
So I don't think that they've legitimately made any progress. Like, they fire their one good coach who got them the World Cup, and then they kept trying, but they're not really doing anything. And then even before this match, they're complaining about the playing surface. And
yeah, they did whine about last night being very wet and soggy, moldy, and heavy.
And they're acting like they should be having like a stadium field, like maybe at NRG. Well, maybe not that stadium field, but they just, it seems like they've been a little bit more entitled these past few years to better
prima donnas.
Yeah, exactly. And okay, that's almost exactly what Alexi Lalas called him. If you heard his rant, it was awesome. He called them coddled, tattooed millionaires. It was great.
But now, are you sure he wasn't talking about every other sport? Because that's pretty much what you could have just described.
No, he was definitely directing it at the U.S.
I think the major issue, too, is because you mentioned there's Jürgen Klinsmann and there's Bruce Arena, and they're calling for all those guys to either resign or be fired. They're calling for a complete overhaul in terms of the USA Soccer, because of the money that's being thrown, or like how much Nike puts up just to be the uniform sponsor,
yeah,
and sponsor for all of this, and the fact that like Fox Sports actually literally had to give a statement today about how excited they still are to have the World Cup, even though Team USA got bounced, because I guess people don't realize how big of a thing worldwide this is, regardless of whether United States participates or not.
It's the world sport. You know what I mean? It's the world sport. Let's get Adrian in real quick, though, before we go to break. Adrian, what's up?
Hey, so about the country, they don't have to be born in a country, but they can be naturalized. The only rule is that you cannot play at no point in your life for two different countries.
Okay. That we appreciate you clearing that up.
Yeah, so there have been Argentinian players that they don't get a chance to play for Argentina, but they naturalized Mexican, and they've gone to from actual Mexico. They play for Mexico, but they're Argentinian.
Okay.
They won't get a chance to play in Argentina, so they play for the Mexican team.
Yeah. So, like I said, I don't know that. I mean, I don't know. Is he gone? Okay. Yeah. Well, at least that clears it up. I don't know. I'm not qualified to rant or bitch or because I just don't care.
Obviously, people did last night.
I know. Trust me, there are tons, and I always
Channel
make 2's fun of
breaking
soccer.
News last night.
Yeah.
Was the USA team not qualifying for World Cup, which was shocking to see them do something like that.
Oh, you Mike texted the show and said, "What's everybody's favorite soccer league? FEMA? No, that's not a.
Jeez. That's not OU Mike, by the way. That's Iowa State. Mike. That's Iowa State Mike.
You know who is qualified to rant about soccer?
Glenn Davis.
One Glenn Davis.
Oh,
soccer matters.
ESPN when does it come on? Is that on Tuesdays, Wednesdays?
Wednesday nights, isn't it?
Oh, tonight is going to be juicy.
He did a show on Monday.
Oh,
in advance of this. Yeah, and
did he do two shows? One where they make it and one where they don't?
No, I don't know.
He taped Wednesday night?
No. Because
I heard
just
the other
moved
night.
His show
oh, he moved it.
To Monday this week.
Oh, because of baseball.
Oh, damn it.
Well, that and he wanted to give a preview of the World Cup match, which,
okay,
in hindsight, probably.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's passionate soccer fans, and then there's Glenn Davis. So if you want to go to the foremost expert in this town on anything soccer matters, and Glenn Davis is the show and where to go. Just saying. All right, so we've got 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go on the big show. That means that we've got still more audio from the sleep app.
Yep. I almost want to call it the fart app because most of them are about farting, yeah, but not this week. But there's some good ones in there.
I'm gonna go on a short limb here, Tyler, and that is Barry will laugh during some of these audio clips. Just a little bit.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yep. All right. So we've got 1 hour still to go on the big show. Don't go anywhere. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
So excited!
KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
ESPN.
ESPN.
97.5.